2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
KSL News Time 3:15. The three things you need to know this hour first.
Members of Delta's pilot union are picketing today across the country over contract negotiations. That includes over 100 pilots who held signs outside the Salt Lake City International Airport. I'm KSL News Radio's Amy Kobabe.
Second, there's a new Supreme Court justice on the job this afternoon. Retiring Justice Stephen Breyer swore in his replacement, Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson. Third, our biggest traffic trouble spot.
Traffic is starting to fill in and slow down a bit. Southbound I-15 approaching and passing Midvale at 7200 South down to 90th South. Also slowing again, and this is due to road work with lane restrictions southbound Highway 40 from SR 248 to Jordanelle. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
Another round of monsoon storms with highs in the mid-90s. I'm Matt Johnson.
Well, not quite yet. Partly cloudy, 92 degrees now. KSL's top national stories.
From ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Supreme Court closed out its term today, issuing two opinions. Justices ruled President Biden can end the Trump-era Remain in Mexico policy for asylum seekers. ABC contributor Maria Elena Salinas says it could help reduce the chaotic conditions along the U.S.-Mexico border.
That's a relief for both countries, really, because although Mexico has agreed to accept asylum seekers during all this time, it was a burden for local authorities there who don't have the means to, you know, to keep up with the day-to-day needs of the migrants and also to protect them from organized crime.
In another decision, justices say the EPA cannot impose emission caps on power plants. It's been nearly a week since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Today, at the end of the NATO summit in Spain, President Biden signaled he would support setting aside the filibuster rule to make Roe law. ABC's Mary Alice Parks.
He would consider an exception to the filibuster rule, a change to the Senate rules, so that they could pass a federal law establishing Roe, cementing protections around abortion care with only a simple majority, only 50 votes. Now, it's still not clear whether he could get all Democrats he currently has to agree to that. It's hard to imagine Joe Manchin coming around to that idea, but this is definitely a change of position for this president.
Republican Liz Cheney, the vice chair of the House Select Committee, says the panel is looking at the possibility of witness tampering as they investigate the January 6th attack. ABC's Jonathan Carl has the exclusive interview.
Cheney told me the January 6th committee may make a criminal referral to the Justice Department, recommending that anybody who attempted to influence the testimony of those coming before the committee be prosecuted for witness tampering.
New York City's Sex Crimes Police Unit now under federal investigation. The Justice Department looking into allegations there is a pattern of gender-biased policing. The NYPD says it welcomes the probe. On Wall Street, inflation and the possibility of a recession leading stocks to fall today. You're listening to ABC News.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent. It was senseless. And I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Time for the KSL in-depth in today's Supreme Court ruling against the Environmental Protection Agency. Conservatives hail this as a victory. Some Democrats, like the president, like Mayor Mendenhall, say it makes her sick. It's a complex case, and to break it down, I've asked Boyd Matheson to take a moment, join us, and explain the ruling and what it means. So, Boyd, what was decided here?
So nothing was decided today in terms of policy. No policies were changed by the ruling from the Supreme Court. In essence, what the Supreme Court said was, Congress, do your job. This is not the role of the EPA to make these particular policy pieces. So today, those who want the environmental action should not be weeping, wailing, and gnashing their teeth, nor should energy producers be spiking the ball. What they're court is really saying is this needs to go back to Congress. This is Congress's job to set the rules, and then the EPA, as part of the executive branch, has their role to play. But it's not the job of the EPA to make those rules.
I'd imagine there was an argument that Congress did create the EPA for the purpose of regulating the environment. So, you know.
Well, and it's part of what the problem is when Congress abdicates its authority. So often Congress will pass a lovely sounding bill like We Shall Have the Clean Air. And then if you read the text will say, we hereby bequeath to the EPA the ability to decide what is clean air, what is dirty air, what the rules are, what the violations are, and to carry out the penalties. And that's not the way it's supposed to be done. And that's what That is exactly what the Supreme Court is saying today. No, that is not their job. And so Congress is wrong in saying, well, we're going to abdicate all our authority over to the EPA because then we're not accountable.
In the majority opinion, they talked about the administrative state. And there are a host of agencies that make rules. Have all of them been neutered now?
No, it's not so much about being neutered. It's about the separation of powers. It's about going back to the Constitution in terms of how this is to be done. Because here's the problem. If you end up having this kind of agency driving everything, then what happens is there's no accountability because they're not elected. They can't be voted out of office. There's no accountability or transparency in that. And so Congress has to do its job. And if it does it properly and correctly, then the agencies can do their job, and then we get the best results for the American people, and that's what we should be after.
So in your view, going forward, is it full steam ahead for every smokestack in America?
Not even close. That is absolutely a fake fight and a false choice. It's not about having an oil rig under delicate arch, nor is it about putting all of the energy companies out of business. It has nothing to do with that, and so much of what we're seeing on social media today – from members of Congress to owners of energy companies and everybody in between, is a lot of hysteria that is not being focused in the right place. The right place is to say, Congress, do your job. Tell us what the rules are. We think we need to do this for the environment because we can have an and conversation. We can be responsible. We can be good stewards of the environment. We have members of Congress right here in the state of Utah who are leading out and say, let's have the climate conversation. And it has to start in Congress, not in the agencies.
Notably, I think of Congressman John Curtis speaking about this frequently, in fact. So here we sit. The rules are set. And I want to point out that for the entire course of my life, what follows every Supreme Court decision is hysteria.
You're absolutely. And fundraising.
All right, thanks a lot, Boyd. It's good to talk to you. KSL News Time 321, traffic and weather together on the nines.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope in Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.